the Beauty Edit podcast, a podcast solely dedicated to the nail and beauty industry. I'm Amanda.
And I'm Amanda's daughter, Shelby. We are so proud and honoured to share with you that we are the newest ambassadors to the Navy professional team. As business owners of Ever Pretty Beauty Studio, we understand the importance of using the highest quality tools and hygiene products.
We instantly fell in love with Navy Pro Tools when we first invested in their cuticle pushers, named Ethel and Doris. Their titanium coating gives them their signature gold look, but also helps minimise cross-contamination, and we were blown away by their precision.
Hygiene has always been a top priority in the studio, and using the Navy three-step hygiene process has allowed us to work safely and effectively, giving us full confidence. Navy's hygiene system has been created with the help from Dr. Fenton, an infection prevention and control expert. If you wish to place an order, you can use our code PRETTY10 for 10% discount.
Today's podcast is a little different to our previous 18 episodes. In episode 19, we switch roles with our friend, nail technician and Scratch Jar's finalist, Nikki House. As she interviews us about our journey into the beauty industry. We can talk for hours, so you may want to make yourself a cuppa for this one.
We would like to thank Nikki for taking time out of her day and offering to create this episode with us. Together we chat about our career so far, why we feel it is important to give credit where credit is due, and our most recent accomplishments. Keep listening if you wish to find out more about us personally and professionally.
Hello, ladies!
Hi!
Hello!
So this is a little bit different today. I just want to introduce myself. I'm Nikki House of Nikki House Nails, and today we are turning the tables. Because I am a guest interviewer on the Beauty Edit podcast, and my special guests today are Amanda and Shelby from Ever Pretty Beauty Studio and the Beauty Edit podcast. So welcome, ladies.
Thank you. This seems so strange,
just, doesn't it? It seems so professional.
Yeah, not like ours.
So really, this is giving us the opportunity to find a little bit more about you guys, because over the last few weeks and the fantastic podcast that you've done, we've found out snippets about you, which are just so interesting. But I'm sure, like me, that loads of the listeners actually just want to know a little bit more about you, and particularly at the moment, because may I say, congratulations on so many levels.
Can't believe it.
I know.
Oh, it's all come at once. It's like waiting for a bus.
And there you are. But it's fantastic. So I think there's just so much we need to discuss. First of all, shall we start with your new award that you've just got this weekend? Do you want to tell us a little bit about that?
So it's the Hair and Beauty,
the British Hair and Beauty Awards,
which you have to apply for, and there's quite a few questions and things they want to know. But the one great thing that we do like about it is that it's not based on getting people to vote. It don't matter how many clients you have or how many salons you have. It is all truly based on your reviews. They send a secret shopper. Or it could be somebody ringing up to book an appointment or ask queries. So it's actually done really fairly, I believe. Whereas some of the other ones, it's like the more clients you have, the more followers you have, the more people you have to ask to get to vote for you. That's how you win it. And to me, that's not fair, because there is people out there that are doing an amazing job, giving amazing service, customer service, knocking out some brilliant treatments, but not being recognised. And I think this is one of the reasons why we have applied to the British Hair and Beauty Awards, because we just feel it is one of them that is done fairly.
And that's the same with Scratch Stars, really, isn't
it? Yeah, definitely. That's a very similar process.
Yeah. It's based on you, your turnout, your attitude, your work, and not just based on getting people to like you and vote for you.
Well, that's it. It's not just on the whole social media, which I know is a massive thing at the moment. But like you've just said, for one, not everybody is on it, or they're only just coming to it. some people don't have the time to be able to invest in the whole social media side. I mean, I know for myself and my experience, I ain't even been on social media for 2 years on Instagram, you know, so
yeah,
if it
it's
had
a
to go
time job
that's it and if it had to go on followers, it's not really fair because you don't know how everybody's always getting those followers.
No.
Have you had them before, you know, the business, that kind of thing? So no, well done, guys. I really
think
you should be so proud of that.
Yeah, we are actually, because we're going to add it to our trophies from last year.
Yeah, because what did you win last year? Didn't you get
last
two?
Yeah, we did. We got best new business, and we also got best nail bar, nail salon last year. So this year, because we've added other treatments, such as like with Anna joining the team, we now offer LVL. And we were like, well, we could still have gone for the new business and nail salon. But we just felt we wanted to just show what we can do. You know, we're not just about nails. We do offer waxing, spray tanning, pedicures, lashes. So we thought, well, let's try a complete different category. And we did, and again, we were absolutely chuffed to bits to win.
Well done with that. And then also recently, Navy Pro Tool Ambassadors.
Yeah,
so that's exciting.
I know, we can't believe it.
We couldn't.
Rebecca asked us, we like snapped her hand off, didn't we?
I bet there was some squealing that day.
Yeah, I think we weren't together at the time because obviously we don't live together anymore. So I think when the message came through, I picked it up and Mum was at home and it was like tea time. So I'm ringing Mum going, answer your phone, ring me back. And then I'm ringing my dad going, can you put Mum on the phone? But there's always been certain brands, aren't there, and certain like products that we've used in salon that we absolutely adore. And we always said if anyone was to approach us out of these brands, we would definitely snap the hand off. And Navy Pro was always one of them.
Is she missing a few fingers now, Rebecca?
Yeah. I bet she is, actually. But, as soon as that message came through, we were just like, yeah, we definitely can get on board with this.
Yeah, absolutely. I can't even put it into words how we feel about being asked. It's like honoured, privileged.
Would you say it's one of the high points of your career?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. And even though getting asked was so amazing and such a privilege, even now being a part of the team, like everyone's so lovely and everyone sends us messages and everyone's so friendly that I've, you know, the other ambassadors too. So it's nice to be a part of a team like that. Yeah.
And I think this is what this industry needs, particularly at the moment, where there's a lot of things going off in the industry. I think this is a message that I'm sure you and I are very much for, and it's just that we can be friends, we can be nice. We're not all competition, we're not, you know, it is a support network there and it is friendship there, and that's what this industry needs now at
I
the
do
moment.
Think like years ago we used to where like our salon used to be, our mum's salon used to be, there was a lot of salons in a very, very small area. We're talking one stretch of road and there were like 18 salons on
yeah.
it.
We counted them one day, didn't
yeah,
we?
Yeah, we drove down the road and counted them all and there was absolutely tons. And back then we used to feel like you couldn't talk to them people because they were your direct competition. They were going to take all your clients. And I think now we've come to realise that's not really the case, is it?
It's no.
Well, it's how you sell your, it's what you're producing, what you're, you know, the quality that you're giving and what you believe in yourself. And I think if you believe in what you're doing and providing, that nobody else is.
Yeah,
it's competition.
I'll be honest, they were after nicking as clients, though.
But
they were. Like, I used to get so upset over it. And like Shelby would be like, Mum, just don't worry about it. And I was like, well, people don't need to do what you're doing or copy what you're doing or message your client or, you know, like I really used to like break my heart over it.
It still does, really.
I'm soft, that's why.
Oh,
and I just think, oh, why can't everybody just be nice? Do you know?
I don't even think it's about being nice. I don't think people do it on purpose necessarily. I think it's just so easy sometimes to just copy what somebody else is doing, especially if they're having success with what they're doing.
Yes.
It's so easy to just go, well, that's worked for them, I'm going to do that. And we all take inspiration from people, but I do think...
I think that's a really good thing, though, particularly at the moment, because there's a lot of this at the moment, I think, on social media about recognising other people and obviously for inspiration, which, don't get me wrong, I completely agree with. If, you know, if you're blatantly copied somebody, then you must give credit, you know, where credit's due. However, because I've got an art background and obviously doing art history and things like that, I am very much of the thinking that there's times and there's periods, like the Renaissance, like the, you know, all the different movements within the art world, and you all inspire each other. And there's periods of time within art where people start thinking on very similar wavelengths. They actually start becoming friends. You know, it goes back through history. All these great artists, a lot of them knew each other or trained with each other and that kind of thing. And there's a moment, I believe, where you are pretty much doing, you know, you start inspiring and then doing similar things. So it's not necessarily copying, because you're just part of that moment and that style, and we are now the nail industry is, I feel, part of the art industry now, particularly what's being produced. So you've got to expect some of that, I personally feel, you know.
It's things like fashion trends as well, you know. Exactly. When River Island starts bringing out leopard print on everything, Topshop starts bringing out leopard print on everything, because it's in trend, it's what everybody wants to wear. And that's the same when it comes to nails. Certain trends will go around. Certain colours during certain seasons will be popular. And there's nothing we can do, and nobody can claim, well, I created that colour in winter. Mm. Do you know? I made that colour popular.
And the thing is, where did the high street get it from? They then got it from the catwalks. But then you look back at those designers, where did they get it from? They got it from the street. They got it from real life. They got it from museums. So it's all, you know, the circle of life.
I mean, how many people, I wonder how many people who are listening to this now and can resonate with what I'm going to say, but you like come up with this idea, and it could be any idea. So like, it could be a nail design. It could be something for your business. And you've got this idea and you've shared it with somebody else. So this like could be me with Shelby. So like I've said, right, I think we should do these nails. I've had this really good idea, and we'll do it like this, and we'll do that. And then you'll go on Instagram and somebody's done exactly what were in your brain.
Yeah.
And you think, how was that even possible? Because I have just thought that in my brain. But like what you say, you're on the same sort of like
wavelength,
aren't you? But then you're like, oh, well, I can't really do that now, because that's going to look like
I've copied. So I think give credit where you can, but I wouldn't get too worked up about that.
Credit Amanda's brain.
I'm sure at some point I thought about it.
Like we were talking with Sophie Dale from Nails, and we'd invited Sophie to come on the podcast. Oh, we did cry. She like replied and said, well, I'm going to start a podcast. And we were like, oh, no. You know, like,
I must admit, when I heard
at the time,
when I heard that podcast, it did make me giggle. And just about what, because this thing has been prevalent in my mind. And I just thought, there you go. You know, this is it. This is what's happening.
Yeah, it is. It's funny. But yeah, so going back to the Navy brand ambassadors, we were absolutely, we didn't even have to think twice about being asked. We were like, yep. And they're like, well, do you want us to send you some more details? We were like, well, you can do, but yeah, we're gonna sign it anyway. But the answer is yeah. You know, like you could have a kidney, whatever. Yes, please.
Oh, but honestly, well done with that.
But thank you.
I think we need to now know a little bit about both of you and how you actually got into the industry, your stories, and you know how you both got to here and to be working together. So I think, Amanda, do you want to start off with your story?
It's a long one. I hope you're ready
for it. I don't think it is.
Are you kidding me? We've been up and down, up and moved here, there and everywhere.
Yeah, Now, I will apologise because my memory is shocking at the moment. I don't know if it's the menopause or what, but it's like just, I am like Dory, just going round, swimming, just keep swimming. So I'm like, I apologise. So basically, going back to school, I was never academic. I used to sit in class and I'd be like looking around, twiddling my thumbs.
Like Dory.
And thinking, why is everybody else writing and I'm not? I wonder what they're writing over there. Ooh. I had no interest at all at school. And I'm not sure why or where I was like that. I don't know if it's because my mum and dad always worked full time. They were very hard working parents. And I was just left a bit to my own devices. I always call it like a latchkey kid.
A latchkey kid, yeah.
Yeah. You know, at the age of 10, I were frying chips in a chip pan.
Oh, God.
You know, like, you know, I've always been able to fend for myself, but never academically, which at the time I always used to think, I wish I could be like my friends, you know, really clever in exams and tests. But always, I mean, I found a report recently going back through some old sort of like school reports, and it basically said Amanda is a perfectionist, but would get more done if she wasn't. Do you know, like, would finish the task in hand if she wasn't a perfectionist.
If you saw Mum's handwriting, it's immaculate, like immaculate, but it takes her like 5 hours to write a birthday card.
And that's just, when I look back now and I think, yeah, that is me. That is how I am. I'm a perfectionist. I take my time and I like things to look and be perfect. So, yeah, never academic. So, I'll be honest, I mean, my son doesn't even know this, I don't think. But coming to GCSEs and then at the end of school, I absolutely hated school. I used to feel sick when I went to school. And I just didn't sit my exams. What do you call it when you don't go
bunked
to school?
Off.
Bunked off. And my mum didn't know until the headmaster rung my mum and mum said to me, I had a good day. Oh. I'm like, yeah, great. And she went, well, that's funny because she hadn't been to school for X amount of weeks. But I felt sick. I didn't want to go to school. I had friends, but I just wasn't academic. And so that led me on to what were I going to do? I mean, at the time, it didn't seem important to me, didn't exam results, which they are. And I've always said to my children, they are your building blocks. You've got to get your exam results, you know. But then I went on, and back then, as females, you weren't really encouraged to go into a career, really. Like, my brother, he was a bricklayer, and it was like they went and got a trade, and we either went and did RSA typing exams and worked in an office. You know, it was like, just go and earn some money, you know. So we're like, right, okay. So I went and worked in an office, which I absolutely had such a ball for lots and lots of years. But it was not really for me. So I left to have Shelby and never went back to my office job. And then along came Corey, and I just sort of fell into like the mum life, really. Very fortunate that I was able to be at home with them. And then I started having my nails done with a girl called Abby at our local salon. And I was absolutely fascinated. And it were pink and white acrylics having done. And she made it look so easy. And I were like, I could do this. Pipsqueak. I can do this. So I spoke to my husband and said, right, okay, what do you think about me doing this? And he were like, well, yeah, you know, if that's what you want to do. So off I trotted to Creative Nail Academy with no beauty or nail knowledge or background. I couldn't paint with polish. I couldn't do anything. So I decided I was going to go do this acrylic nail course. I was absolutely terrible. Absolutely shocking. Now, it was nothing to do with the course at all. I just couldn't master it. I remember doing somebody's nails. It took me 6 hours. 6 hours. And I was like, oh my God, this is like torture. So then I thought, well, actually, it made me learn that I didn't know the fundamentals, like how to shape a nail, the anatomy really of a nail. What would I do if somebody had a disease or a disorder?
Yeah.
So then I decided I was going to go to college. So yeah, so I was 34 when I went into the industry, so quite late. So I'd worked a lot of years in an office, had my children, seen them sort of grow up and Shelby start high school. And then I thought, well, I want to do something. I want to be self-sufficient. I want to earn some money. I want to do something I think I'll enjoy. And that's where I went to CND. Then went to college, which was amazing. Met some amazing friends, which I'm still friends with to this day. And then that's where it sort of started, really. Did my level 2 in beauty therapy, VTCT, and then went on to do level 3, more down the massage route. So covered everything, waxing, manicures, pedicures, facials, massage, anatomy and physiology. I think looking back, I won Student of the Year. I also won Dermalogica's Product Student of the Year. So that's where it basically started.
And then how long was it then until you actually got your own?
When I was at college, I went and volunteered in a salon, which I'd still say to people to this day, to get that salon experience, just go and offer your services, just a couple of hours, or just to learn.
A Saturday is a
good
one.
Yeah, a Saturday. Just to get your foot in the door and just to see what it's actually like in a salon, which I did do.
Because I think as well, sorry, just putting in here, but like a lot of people go to college and spend the 2, the 3 years at college, and then they go into a salon and they're like, oh, this isn't what I expected. I don't like this.
Yeah.
You know, long hours, unsociable hours, and it comes as a shock.
So a lot of that, particularly when I went to work on cruise ships, because I'd already worked in a salon but doing a training for work scheme, so I were at college part of the time and then working. And when I went to work on the cruise ships, there were a lot of girls that were just coming straight from college that on paper were fantastic, but the reality of working back to back a full day, you know, managing a column and doing those clients, came as a massive, massive shock, and just couldn't handle dealing with real life clients and everything that goes with that. So no, I completely agree with you there that it's one of the best foundations you can have, just to get that little bit of salon experience before you start by yourself.
Yeah, so I was still at college, and then once I qualified, they offered me a position, which were paid, which were like, yes. But I quickly found out I didn't like having a boss. Really quickly. I just didn't like it. And I know that sounds like, I don't know, like, well, people do have to have a boss, you know, and somebody to give you direction. But I don't like bossy bosses. And I had a bossy boss. And I'm, anybody who knows me, I'm a bit of a shrinking violet, I'd say. Me and Shelby say this all the time, because we're confident, but we're confident with people we know.
Yeah.
And confident with clients. But when somebody's almost like shouting at you, and you're like, I could feel myself like sinking behind desk, you know.
We're never the biggest characters in a room with people.
No, we're not. We're not. We're not the loudest, and we're not the brashest. And I was like, oh, she's on my case again. Do you know, like, and I thought, I'm going to have to leave. What am I going to do? I liked doing nails, but I liked doing them in my own time, as in I didn't want to be, I just learned, and I wanted to make sure that the nails I were doing were fab nails. So I didn't want to be told I had to do it in 40 minutes.
Quality over quantity.
Yeah, definitely. And I thought, what am I going to do? So I went mobile. I just sacked it off and went mobile. So I were almost like, I had salon experience. And I knew I didn't want a boss. So
I think you knew what you wanted to achieve, though.
Yeah, you
knew what you wanted. It was just the salon weren't giving you what you wanted, really, were it? It
not really.
It wasn't giving you flexibility around Corey, as he was still littler, younger than me. And I think
some people are just meant to be their own boss. Some people are. That is
like
their
me.
Path. Yeah.
Yeah. So I just went off mobile, throwing everything in back in my little Clio, my waxing couch, waxing pot, pedicures, nail varnishes. Oh my god! Soon quickly learnt I didn't like that either.
I think a lot of us go down that route, Amanda, with mobile, and then very quickly we learn. Oh my god! My hat goes off to all these mobile therapists that literally do it all the time, because I just think, oh my god, some of the stories I can tell you. From my mobile days. Oh my god.
I mean, I still can't get to this day why people would book you for a spray tan in the house. Do you know, it's like, I don't want to do that, it's just gonna go everywhere. So then I went on to rent a room within a hair salon, which I absolutely loved. Absolutely loved it. And I think that was the starting point, really, for me.
You were the most settled there for a long time.
Yeah, a lot of years. Yeah, a lot of years. Loved being part of a team. I was the only beauty therapist. Really, really loved it. Really good bunch of girls that I worked with. Lovely clients. And it just gave me that opportunity to build a stable client base.
Yeah.
Then after being there for quite a number of years, an opportunity came to take on a salon. So me and my hairdresser took on a salon. She was the hair side, I was the beauty side. A lot of things sort of happened at this point. My mum passed away. We'd literally just opened the salon at the beginning of December, and my mum passed away in the April.
That must have been really hard.
Yeah, I look back and I think, well, I'm so glad my mum was involved, because I was very close to her. So I'm glad she got to see it and she helped and things like that. She was there for our opening day. So she passed away and a lot of things just happened. I don't want it to sound like a sob story, really, but
no,
10
but
months
that's life, isn't it, you know?
Yeah, 10 months later, my dad passed away following my mum. And it was just like, is this really what I want? It just didn't feel right. We were in an area where we'd got, like Shelby had said, you know, there were like loads and loads of salons within like a matter of like 1.5 miles on the same road. If it weren't people with it, renting rooms within salons, it was salons. And it, I don't know if I just needed a break and a change. Again, like my mum says, you know, like, I never stay in one place for very long. But, I mean, we'd had our salon for, like, a good 3 years at that point. And it just, it's hard being in business with somebody. It's very, very hard.
It's hard when, as well, you were both different trades. Even though, hair and nails, it sounds so similar on paper. It's not. You all have different outgoings. You all have different priorities. And trying to combine the two with a friendship as well
is very difficult.
Whereas if you're a mother and daughter team, it works.
Obviously, I'm sure it runs so smoothly and there's never any bumps in the road. I'm convinced.
No, there isn't.
Not
honestly,
really.
There really isn't, is there?
Do you think that's because you know each other and you can read each other and you know when...
I think even as a like mother and daughter, like, you know, relationship, we're very, very close. Like, a lot closer than what some of, even though my friends are close with their mums, me and mum are just, it's like almost a bit too much probably in some respects.
Yeah, it is.
We lived, at one point we were living together, socialising together, working together.
Yeah,
we must have seen each other 24 hours a day, every day, 7 days
you
a week.
You are like me, clone.
We are, we're like, I am a mini me, aren't I, really?
You are.
So,
you're my minion.
I think that's why we get along so well, because we are so similar that
we
it's freaky.
We think alike. I think that's what what it is. So, like, Shelby will message me and say, I'm thinking this, and I were like, oh, yeah, I were thinking that as well. You know, like, there's no conflict. There don't ever seem to be any conflict. But I know, I think it was in one of the episodes with, I think it might have been Samantha Sweet, and we asked her, like, could she give, like, if she could give one piece of advice, but she gave quite a lot. Yeah. And I think one of them was about going into business with somebody. You know, like, it is very hard, and to think about it. And, like, people had said to me before I did it, I wouldn't do it. And I'm like, God, yeah, you know, we've been friends for 15 years. You know, nothing can go wrong, but it does. It does. And, I mean, it's sad because we're not friends to this day. So it is very sad. But, yeah, that was a big learning curve. And then we moved. We moved to Ivoridge Hall back then, which we absolutely loved, which is where we are now. We were there for quite a lot of years again. 3 years, three and a half, 4 years.
Yeah.
And then by accident completely started a candle company, which is called the Mint. I know. You see, this is I'm crazy. I am mental. All done, complete accident. Like I say, my mum passed away. At the time I wanted like a keepsake for my mum's memory. And I'd said to Shelby, why don't we make our own candles?
Like you do.
Yeah.
I had this brilliant idea, and I ran into her bedroom and she was in bed. And we
It wasn't like Fight Club, were you?
Wayne were working away, and I think it was about midnight. I said, I've had this brilliant idea. Why don't we make our own candles? And, like, instead of just making our own candles, because I was thinking of branding them with a salon, I said, we could, like, do, like, Remembering Angel for Nana. So Shelby said, okay. So I said, so, like, we could do, like, Remembering Angel, but then have a poem to, like, make a wish so that when you light it, And I've Googled it, and nobody does anything like this. So you can basically put a poem on it, like about making a wish. So she went, I don't know if I'm allowed to swear on the podcast. Shelby actually said to me, I actually thought you were going to say something really shit. I went, excuse me, I do not have beep ideas. I said, I always have good ideas. So off we went. We were still working in the salon full time. Started this candle company, which took off overnight, and we were like, oh my goodness, we didn't expect this to happen. So we were selling candles through Not on the High Street.
Wow, because I know that takes something to get onto yeah. Not on the High Street, so yeah. Well done with that.
Yeah, such a long story. I feel like I've chatted for ages here, but the long story of it was we was invited to go on Dragon's Den.
Oh my gosh.
So... but we weren't prepared.
No, let's just... let me rephrase this for Mum. What Mum means is she insisted that we applied and went on Dragon's Den. We got, like, an invite and we had to go to Manchester, and I said to her the whole time, I don't want to do it. I don't want to go on TV. Two, I don't actually want an investment, because if we have an investment, this is already a lot of hard work and it's going to be a lot more hard work and I miss doing nails. So it were like... we basically got to a point where we were like, right, we need to make a decision. We either go back to his roots and nails. We missed clients. We missed socialising, didn't we? Because yeah. We were just, at this point, it was me and Mum in his garage pouring candles and selling them online. We had no interaction with anybody, did
no,
we?
No, we didn't.
And it
no.
were a lot of hard work. For not really a lot of profit for the amount of hard work.
Well, that we, yeah, yeah, the time that you were putting in.
Yeah. Yeah. So we had to make the decision, didn't we? We were either going to go back to nails or we were going to stick and then go on Dragon's Den and it were going to hopefully blow up.
So we'd got this date. We had to go to Manchester for pre-recording on Dragon's Den. And like my husband said to me, right, Amanda, just think this through. You go on Dragon's Den and Duncan Ballantyne says, yep, I'd love to invest. And then on Monday morning, he says, I've spoke to Harrods and they'd like 20,000 of your candles by end of week. How are you going to do it? And I were like, oh, I don't know. I'll just outsource them. He said, okay, who are you going to outsource them to? And how much are they going to cost to outsource? I'm like, well, I don't know. I'll just do that when I get an investment. So he absolutely made me panic. And I thought, he said, is this what you want? Is this really what you want? And I was like, oh, I don't know.
Did you just want to be on telly?
I didn't even want to be on telly. I just wanted to make loads of money. So I was like, oh, I don't know. I don't know. And this is exactly what I'm like. And Shelby's exactly the same. I ponder on things. And then when I make a decision, and I just go straight with it. I just jump in feet first every time. I went, I'm going to sell company. They went, what? I went, yeah, I'm selling it, going back to nails.
Oh, like, hold on a minute. I think you mean we're selling it.
And literally, we sold it, the business. And yeah, and it's still going to this day and it's doing amazing. And I'm so pleased. And I couldn't have asked for better people to buy it.
But you don't sound like you regret it. So that's obviously for the right decision, because you don't sound like somebody who's looking back thinking, oh, gosh. What have I done?
No, I'm really pleased for him. I'm pleased that it's still doing really well, and they're doing really well with it. It was my baby. It was my bright idea.
And it came from Nana's death, really, wasn't it? That was where the idea came from. And like my boyfriend said at the time, you'll never sell it because you've got too much sentiment attached to the business. And Mum was like, I tell you what, I will. And I think because he said it, she was like, she told it next day.
Yeah, it got snapped up straight away. But yeah, so back to nails we were. Opened up a home salon in his garage, which were just brilliant. I were only saying I were going to go back 2 days a week. Just me lovely clients that, you know, still wanted to come to me. Just have a natter and a cup of tea, and I'd just paint the nails, and it didn't work out like that.
We were really busy really quick.
My friend reversed a car off the drive into the neighbor's car.
Oh.
We were having issues with parking, and we were like, we were turning people away for the nails doing, and clients were saying, well, why don't you get somebody else? And we were like, we can't because we've no parking. That'd mean another therapist's car. It'd mean another client's car. So that's 6 cars just in total. And then if somebody runs late and somebody arrives early.
And because our drive's a long drive, not a wide drive, you could get 3 people on the drive, but you were all behind each other.
Yeah, in and out.
So, yeah.
Yeah, it was just difficult. And then, I feel like I've taught so much.
You just carry on, and then I'll just slot where I came in between. Like, I popped up in 2000 and whatever, and I left in 2000 and whatever.
So we were working from home, and then an opportunity arose to take on a unit within our city centre shopping centre. So we were like, wow, is this... It just seemed amazing. The price was amazing. It was a brand new glass-fronted unit. And we were like, this is what we've always... It's what we thought at the time we always wanted. So we went for this unit, announced we'd got it. We'd got solicitors in place.
Architects
were in place. Because it's surprising how much you don't realise what you need to do according to regulations when you take on a unit within a big centre.
Yeah.
You know, you can't just go in there and paint it and put some nail desks. You actually have to have, you know, fire regulations.
You have to have drawings and measurements.
Plans and everything. There's a lot to it, you know, like where your air conditioning unit's going to go. And I'm not just talking in the shop, I'm talking about like the unit outside of the building, and how are they going to get it there, and is there enough electricity to the unit to power what you need, and hot water and alarms and shutters. And it just,
I think this is
on.
A lot of things that people don't think about within the nail industry as well. You know, it's one thing to be good at painting nails and doing nails, but it's a whole other side, the logistics and the business side is. So I think that's where you two are so good, because you've got each other to bounce off, haven't you, with all that kind of thing, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, but when you're so similar, you may as well just have one
Is it were it Dolly? Dolly the sheep?
Yeah. Merge us together and I'd be like 24 years younger. Just be my brain, which ain't great. But yeah, so we were so excited. We started looking for staff because we'd ummed and ahed. So like HR, that's a whole big pot in itself, you know, like the employment rules and looking for staff and employing them and pensions and employers and employee national insurance and contracts.
Maternity pay. Oh.
But you know, we thought that was going to be hard. It was finding staff that was hard. We just realised so quickly that people want to work for themselves in our industry.
Especially if they're good.
They don't want to be employed because they want to work for themselves. And I think they can earn more money from working for themselves, which you can. But I think a lot of people don't take into consideration holiday pays. And
it swings and roundabouts, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, there's pros and cons to both. But we found quickly that people didn't want to be employed. So we were really, really struggling to find staff, good staff. So we found Ever Pretty Anna. She applied for a position and her work stood out amazingly and a CV. And we were like, we have to interview this girl. But I'm not kidding when I say out of all the applications, I think we only interviewed 5 people.
Oh my God.
And we had a lot of applications.
Yeah, there were only 5 that made it. I kept putting them onto the maybe pile and Shelby kept putting them onto the no pile.
You can't put them on maybe just because we ain't got numbers here. Like, they're a no. Get rid of them.
I could see potential. I'm soft. This is it, you see. So it were all systems go. All the plans had been drawn up with the architect. And then it then went to the shop fitters. And when I say we had a figure in our mind, which was tens and tens and thousands of pounds, that was not nowhere near enough. We had put aside, the shop fitters came back to us and it was treble what we thought it were going to be. And initially they'd said to us, we think it'll be around this amount. So we were like, okay, yeah, that's great. And it were treble. And we were like, oh my goodness, what are we
going
to do?
So we ended up going backwards and forwards with them for quite a while, figuring out why on earth it was so much more than what they'd originally. And obviously we knew it was an estimate, but we're talking it would treble the tens of thousands. So they weren't just a bit off. And it basically, the unit, although it looked lovely and new and, you know, capable of holding a nail salon within it, actually it wasn't. It didn't have many electric sockets in it. It had no actual, like, air conditioning ready to be installed. So it needed drilling through a floor and running for miles to an underground car park. These were all things that you didn't know until we could physically get in the shop. And so, go on, I'll let you carry on.
Yeah, like the boiler. They told us it had, hot water. But that just an old boiler, you know, like a geyser,
yeah,
like where you just like sort of turned it on. It wasn't enough to power pedicure stations, warm water. The circuit board, we were told, weren't enough to power, so we had to have it all electrics redone. And we were like, oh, we were so deflated. We were like, what are we gonna do?
We're back to that.
We'd paid for architects and everything, and we were like,
we'd already spent thousands by this point.
We just wanted to cry. But we are firm believers that things happen for a reason. We were struggling to find more staff. So we were like, what are we going to do? So we were like, well, we can't afford it. It wasn't even a case of going to the bank and getting a loan, because we were like, well, how long would it take us to recoup that money? You know,
Mum would have been dead by then. I'd have been here still with the debt, but hang on.
So we were like, well, it's embarrassing. We felt embarrassed, you know, saying to people, like, you know, we'd announced that we were moving and we were going to this lovely unit and putting photos on. But then we were like, we have to really not get carried away with the dream, but the reality is, like Shelby said, I'd have probably been dead by the time we'd have recouped the money. So we were like, we just have to say no. You know, there were things there that we were unaware of. You know, we'd got solicitors were involved as well, and building regulations guys. You know, it were going to be a real big job that we were taking on, and we just had to give back word. And as luckily enough, a solicitor dealt with it all, really, and his architect. I mean, he was amazing, wasn't he, as architect?
Yeah.
Yeah, shout out to Jim. But yeah, and it were a really hard decision to make. And we were gutted, really, really gutted. But we went back, toddled off back to his little home garage conversion. And where we'd been before, just through like a chat, because they still come to us, the owners and the landlords, and they were like, come back, just come back. And we were like, would you have us back? And they were like, course we would. You know, we never left on...
I'm back, yeah.
No, never. And like I say, most of them were coming for the treatments anyway. And they were like, just come back. And we were like, well, we just need a bigger space than what we had before. And they were like, yeah, fine. And they were so accommodating. We're so lucky. So, so lucky, aren't we, Shelby?
Yeah.
That where we are at Ivoridge Hall, as landlords, are so good to us and accommodating. And even in lockdown, we've not been charged any rent.
God, that's really good.
They're just amazing. They treat us so
nice
well.
People.
So, so well. Yeah. So we're back where we started. 360.
But things happen for a reason, don't they?
They do. And me and Shelby are firm believers in that. And we look now and we think with this pandemic, we were like, what situation
could you imagine?
£10,000, you know, that grant that if you had a premises, you got, that £10,000 wouldn't have lasted very long. I know it sounds like it does, but in reality, for the cost that we would have been covering at the shopping centre, there is no way on earth that 10 grand would have been gone by now.
Yeah.
We'd have been having to try find that money ourselves. And,
yeah,
you know, if we'd have just opened that business as well, we wouldn't have had any money, you know, spare money.
Yeah. I just think it was a lucky escape. It just wasn't meant to be. And that was the universe
telling you. Saying, yeah.
Don't do it. So yeah.
Although we don't have an excuse why the universe still allowed us to lose thousands of pounds in solicitors' fees and I'll pick up the universe later.
Do some manifesting for 17 seconds, shall we?
Yeah.
But yeah. So yeah, really sad, but now we feel it was just weren't meant to be. And we're back at Ivoridge, where we used to be, with a lovely area.
A beautiful salon, a beautiful area.
It's not massive, but it does what we want it to do. And, you know, we've been able to take on Anna, who's been so loyal to us since applying for the position at Trinity Walk with us. But she's set on a self-employed rent-a-desk basis, which is great for her. You know, she can come and go.
Yeah, her own boss within a certain...
Yeah, just lovely, just absolutely lovely. And even in all this lockdown pandemic, she's not been able to work and earn any money. And
sadly, she's not been eligible for any grants either, because she only went self-employed in November last year.
Yeah.
Which is sad. It is.
It's hard. It's really hard on every level. Like, we've not been able to claim anything because we're with a business within another business. But like I say, our landlord's been great and not charged us. So, but we haven't been able to claim anything with regards to that either. But she's great, and she's like, can't wait to get back.
Yeah.
And I just feel really settled is what I'd say now.
That's
I
just lovely.
Feel settled and ready to retire.
Oh my gosh, Amanda, no, it's only just beginning. Don't be thinking about that.
No. So that's where it's sort of gone. Just twists and turns all the way along the way. I like to, like, move every 3 years.
So, Shelby, where did you start? Where did you come in on the whole story?
So I left high school and knew straight away that I wanted to go into doing nails. I'd known from a very young age, even before Mum had gone to college herself.
Yeah.
I'd always said, I want to do nails when I grow up. I'm talking from being like, you know, nine. So that's what I did. So I signed up to do level two beauty therapy at college straight after high school. Didn't stay on and do my A levels, even though I could have done if I wanted to, but I didn't want to. I were done with school by the time I'd left. I'd worked hard and got my GCSE results, and I were ready to like move on. So I did an apprenticeship scheme. So at that point in time, you were at the salon, weren't you, with your friend at the time. So I then got in there and I became like your apprentice. I did my level two and my level three, like apprenticeship, got my qualifications. Was still working with you at that point, but at the time the salon weren't that busy, were it really? There weren't enough work for me to be full time as well as Mum be full time. And I wanted a better wage than an apprenticeship wage. So we were like, right, what are we going to do? So I said, well, actually, I fancy going and working in like Leeds City Centre. In my head, it were like, I were nearly 18. So I thought in my head, I can go work in Leeds City Centre and I can go out for drinks afterwards and I can meet, you know, young girls that are like young professionals and I can earn a really good wage for my, you know, for my age. But again, that didn't really work out. I think I came to realise quite quickly that I had it quite good working with Mum.
Yeah.
I had it quite good as in my work-life balance. If I wanted to, you know, go get my hair done on a Tuesday afternoon, I could say to Mum, do you mind if I take a couple of hours out? And she'd go, yeah, but you've got to do your couple of hours here. Do you know?
Yeah.
But it just worked. So I just missed being with Mum, really. I didn't like commuting to Leeds on the train. I couldn't drive at that point. So standing in the rain on the platform, I had to do probably another half an hour, 45 minutes from the train station to actually get home. It just wasn't for me.
I think I were like, yes, my dear, go spread your wings. Go into the big wide world and then see how easy you've got it.
Yeah.
And
but I think until you try. You're always going to have that feeling, aren't you? You're always, so you've got to give it a go.
And I think as well, it didn't help. The salon that opened, it's still going now and it's a really successful salon in Leeds City Centre called Pastille. But when I joined there, it had literally just opened. I joined as, you know, as the salon was ready to launch. So they had no previous clients, nothing at all. So to start with, them first few months, they were very, very, very quiet. I mean, it's not now. It's obviously very busy. But back then, we're talking 5 years ago, I'd gone from being quite, not fully booked, but being busy and being kept busy with things to do. Even if I weren't doing a client, there was something for me to be doing. But with it being a brand new salon and everything were pristine and clean and, you know, everything were organised, there was just nothing for me to be doing. And I were like twiddling my thumbs a bit and I needed to be busy. So I went back and then we moved to Ivoish together and then we did the candles together and then we opened the garage together. So I just slotted in there really and then we just did everything together from there. But the first business that we opened together jointly was when we did the garage. Well, we did the candles.
Yeah.
But then we did the garage conversion, didn't we? And that were when we both got into working in a salon, but both. We're still both self-employed, but individually. We're not like a partnership. We're both separate sole traders. We both have our own clients, have our own money, pay our own taxes, take our own holidays, etc. But we just do the salon together.
Get doing
things together.
Work side by side.
Yeah. And it works for us because if I've done loads more hours, that then is reciprocated in the money I've earned that week and vice versa. If Mum's done loads of hours 1 week and I've been off on holiday, you know, we're not trying to share the profits and feeling like one of us
that's
is doing
it moment. Yeah, and I could, and you can see where that can become, you know, animosity between people when somebody seems to be working and, you know, you're both reaping the same benefits.
Yeah.
That, so I think you've done that on a really wise level.
That's what I've learned in past experiences that you feel like one's busy because they're earning more money, but the other person is dealing with all the admin side of, you know, the business rates and the Instagram and doing all that side of things. You can't help but feel like one person is doing more work, and that's where it starts to break down. So we just find this works really well for us now.
Yeah,
that's how we all do it. We all pay our own taxes, we're all sole traders like Shelby says, and we're just all together in a,
even with Anna, we make decisions with Anna, don't we?
God,
don't,
yeah. That's
we
lovely.
Don't tell Anna what we do, like we don't say, right, we've decided we're doing this and this is what we're doing. We say to Anna, what do you think, what's your take, what would you prefer to do? You know, if this were your choice, what would you choose to do? And we just make group, we sit down, don't we, and just make group decisions.
It's weird because she could actually, I could have given birth to Anna because she fits in with us, like how she thinks. And like we think, well, please don't feel like we're pushing you into a direction, you know, please let us know. And she's like, no, that's exactly what I think. And we're like, right, okay then. So yeah, we do take on board what she says, because it is important, and it's important to making that team run smoothly.
Yeah.
And now you're here, what's the next step? What's the future? Have you got a plan, a goal, or
do we sound like we have a plan?
Well, we're quite settled now, aren't we? We're settled in the studio. There's still a few things we want to tweak design-wise in the studio, isn't there? Because we only moved in there at Christmas last year. So we've been sanding down windowsills and things like that during lockdown. So we're getting there with the decor side of it, aren't we?
Yeah.
But we're very settled as in the location, as clients are happy. You know, we're happy with Anna being on board. Mm-hmm. Introduced some new treatments, haven't we, that were like one thing we wanted to do, which is Anna's gone and learned how to do LVL lashes, which she's amazing at. So
yeah,
that's hopefully really going to take off for her when we get back. So we're settled.
Yeah, feel settled for the first time in a long time.
So we haven't really got any plans in regards to the salon as such, have we?
Personally, I mean, obviously you've got your scratch coming up, Shelby, haven't you? So
yeah.
There's that in the pipeline, but I suppose it's just seeing where the universe takes you.
Yeah. I don't think we haven't got
a plan. We haven't got anything set out that we'd like to achieve.
But don't you think sometimes you're saying that you feel settled, and don't you think sometimes you just need to push back a little and just look at what you've got and be grateful for what you've got and enjoy that moment rather than. And I mean, sometimes, it's good to have a plan and be somewhere to aim. But if you're in, you know, enjoy the view. It's that kind of thing.
I think that's where we're at now. We've spent so many years recently moving around, trying new things. And we've figured out everything now, haven't we? We know how we have our systems in place. Everything runs pretty smoothly. We've figured out over the years what we want and what we don't want.
Yeah, because I think we always had this dream of having this salon. I think that's what it was, this salon, quite a big salon, you know.
With a lot of staff.
Members of staff. And actually, when it came down to it, we've learnt the hard way.
Mm.
And where we are, there's nobody around us. We've got ample parking. We're right next to a motorway network. We've got fantastic landlords. We work with some amazing other businesses, and we've got some fantastic work colleagues, not just who work with us in the studio, but on reception, and we have team days and days at the races, and it just all makes for such a lovely work-life balance. Yeah,
but it does sound good. It really does.
Yeah, and we've been really fortunate this year, as in we've worked and we've started the Beauty Edit podcast, obviously, in lockdown. Then we're now Navy ambassadors. You know, we had an opportunity at the beginning of the year to retrain with Biosculpture Gel, and they've been amazing to us, really generous and helpful, and it's just been lovely. It's just we've met some amazing friends, nail tech friends.
I think that if anything that we want to do, you know, for the rest of the year or next year, it's probably going to be more down that line of things, isn't it? Like, we would actually like to utilise the salon space mm-hmm. for other technicians. We would like the space to be usable. You know, if people want to hold workshops or people want to come and, you know, run an event in the salon, because so many people comment on the space, and it's quite a nice area. There's, you know, we can get quite a few people in, and it's got tons of parking. Yeah. It's right off the motorway. So that's one thing we have spoken about during lockdown, is we would like to network a bit more and then offer the space to people.
Yeah. So even if it's just, I don't know, a business talk or a nail art course or education.
There's so many things. And I think now as well, because of lockdown and all the things that we've been introduced to with training, which has been good online, but I think a lot of us have found out about more things, and some things, you know, to an extent you can do online, but there is things that you just have to physically be there and have to physically see. And I think that's it now, rather than having to travel all over, I think people are more prepared for them to travel and then people to come in nearer, so you're not having to go as far. So I think that's a fabulous idea.
We've definitely spoke to some people who are interested in coming and doing other bits and bobs. So, you know, not just nails.
But,
you know, a bit of everything, business, finances, just everything. Even like we were talking about, like, come and have a day with us, weren't we? You know, like, just come and have a day with us and pick us brains.
But
people probably don't want to after listening to this podcast. They're like, what? She's doing qualifications. What she's talking about.
But this is real. This is real, Amanda. This is, you know, but look at where you are, and this is what people are going to listen to today and, you know, realise and see. And I think that's the inspirational thing. I think that's what I get from it, is you don't necessarily have to, you know, be academic, and, you know, if you've got the desire and the work ethic, you can get there, can't you? You know,
definitely.
You've had your ups and downs, and you've learned, but you now feel content, and I think people will be knocking at the door to come and spend the day with you. if you could give any advice to people generally in the nail industry, or for those just starting out, because of your journey and what you have learned, what piece of advice would you give?
You want to go?
Mine would be, I've got a few. Can I give a few?
Please.
This is just a few things that have just popped to my head. Don't feel like you have to compete with other people. Don't be looking at other people's Instagrams and nail art. Try and master the basics. So the shape of a nail, just whether that's filing, get the shape right, and the application of just one colour. Don't try doing nail art first. Just get your basics, and then from then on, the world is your oyster. You know, just education. I think education is so fundamental.
And so prevalent now, because we can see what happens when you don't have the foundations and you don't have the building blocks. You know, what can... You can get so far, but it will start crumbling around you if the foundations aren't in place.
I just think them, like, MVQ qualifications, the VTCTs, I just think you can't go wrong as a starting point. Yes, then everything else you can watch on YouTube or Instagram TV and just enhance your skills. But I just believe it is so important, education, to get the great start in your career. And then my last thing would be, if you were to go into business with somebody, really, really consider it, because it's sad. The situation that happened with me and my friend were friends for 15 years. And I do believe if we were to bump into each other in the supermarket now, we would speak. But it's just upset, and it's hard when one of you feels that you're maybe doing more work than the other and vice versa, it's really hard. So I would really, really consider if you were going to go into business with somebody. They're my three.
Thank you. And what about you, Shelby?
My first one were going to be very similar to Mum. Sort of like a don't try to run before you can walk situation. Don't get carried away with the dream like what we almost did. I think, yeah, my advice would be don't run before you can walk and figure out exactly what it is that you want to build. Know where you're heading rather than just going along for the ride. Even though it seems like we went along for the ride.
I've learned so many lessons and so many, I know so much now, you know, even if it's just about HR. An employment law.
I'm smelling a book coming here, Amanda.
You know, like first aid, or I know so much, you know, like about a business that, yeah, I was never academic, but I suppose the whole moral of the story is, yes, you might not be academic, but that doesn't mean you can't learn. If you've got a passion and an interest and the desire, you can learn and do anything that you put your mind to. You've got the interest and the
most definitely. I mean, I can speak from the heart with that. I wasn't academic at school, quite the opposite. Unbeknown to me, I had dyslexia, but without knowing it at school, because obviously I were of a generation and an age where it wasn't a thing. Mm. It wasn't bandied about. And I only found out I had some form of dyslexia when I had actually were doing my teaching degree, my certificate in education, and I were giving new students forms to fill out, and one of them was dyslexia awareness. And I thought, oh, do you know, I'll just fill this out while they're filling it out. And at the end it were like, you may need to seek help. So it just goes to show that, you know, things like that shouldn't hold you back, and you shouldn't think that you can't go into business by yourself, or that you can't go to university, that you can't do teaching because you've been labelled with certain things, or that you've not had the best experience at school and that environment. It's just that you've not been in an environment that's catered for your learning needs and type, and, you know, because we all learn so differently. So it's just not to let the stigma and things like that hold you back. We're all capable of so much if we're prepared to work. That's the thing, isn't it? You know?
Yeah, definitely. I think anybody, no matter what your background is, your education, anything in life, finances, there's always a way, and I think if you've got a will, there's a way.
Yeah,
definitely. So just on a little fun, just to end with, just...
No.
It's just to find out who inspires you, you know, within the nail industry, within social media, because I think it's these kind of things that then inspire other people to have a little look. So has there been anybody in the nail industry or the beauty industry that has inspired you? Is there any products that you absolutely could not live without? Anything like that?
Ooh. Dun, dun, dun.
Do you want time to think, or shall I go?
You go, because you feel like you've got an idea.
First off, inspiration. So this is nail images, business, the person behind the business, the work ethic, would definitely, number one, Drive By London.
Their podcast, Amanda, I've got to say, what an inspirational woman I found her to be, and just the way she, you know, came across it. At the end of that, I was like, wow, really,
Christina,
wow.
Is absolutely the most loveliest, sweetest, caring, inspirational, encouraging, supportive lady. that she was just absolutely amazing. And I know this is going to sound so cheesy, but just saying them words about her has given me, it's made my hairs on my arm stand on end. She was just amazing. And the story behind her starting a business and, you know, obviously we've been in lockdown and, yeah, absolutely inspires me 110%.
I know where you're coming from with that one, so I totally agree.
Yeah. Maybe not, it's not so much aimed at just nails.
No.
I think it's business acumen, integrity, the designs and the ideas behind those designs and keeping just real to yourself. Yeah, that is definitely my number one. I'll go to products.
Products. Yes.
Eve Taylor London. And I will bang on about their products until somebody gives me something else that makes me change my mind. I've used them products
for years.
This is
personally, though, isn't
it? Yeah, personally. Is like I use all the Eve Taylor range on my face. cleansers, hyaluronic acid, moisturizers, sun protection. I just love them. Cost effective, easy to use, great results. Love the brand again. Love the fact that Eve herself, you know, has been making these products for like over 60 years. I just love everything about it. So they're my favourite products.
Fabulous. Shelby, have you got any inspirational people, inspirational products, tools?
Design wise, when it comes to nail designs, I'd say the one person that I admire the most would be Buff CS Jen.
Oh yeah.
Mainly just because her work really stands out against a lot of other people's. Not necessarily, although the quality is outstanding, but her actual designs are so original. There's nobody out there that is making the designs like Buff CS is. And I think the reason why is because she takes a lot of inspiration from art, from like designs that she finds from pottery and from fabrics. And I think for me, I find that so like inspiring. The fact that she's coming up with these designs, you know, by herself, and she's taking aspects of things from real life to create these designs. So yeah, design wise, it would have to be Buff CS Jen.
Yeah, Jen's work is just so, it's just fresh. It's just,
yeah.
It just pleases you, doesn't it? When you see her page, it genuinely makes me smile and just think, wow, how did she get that idea? How did she do that?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think Jen's a lovely person as well.
Oh, so lovely.
She's not the loudest person when it comes to Instagram. She's not the biggest character on there. But her work speaks volumes.
And what we've said, it's the integrity in it. You don't have to be the loudest and shouting the most, and you know your work will shine through.
Yeah. Products wise, I think you spoke like personally, didn't you, Mum, on products that you like. But I think I'll try to speak on products in the salon that we can't live without. So number one has to be Navy Pro Tools.
Yeah,
I've never found tools that we actually adore, that we actually would recommend to people. They've just always been ones to get us by, we then replace them when they're blunt. But these ones are amazing. And like Ethel, Doris and Katie, when it comes to nails, you can't live without them. You need them.
Well, for me, the part of my, obviously because I work by myself, the part of my team, I talk to to Ethel and Doris, you know.
Not Doris.
Christmas party with them.
Party hats on.
Yeah.
What other products could we not live without?
Oh, there's so many.
There's other things, though. It's not even necessarily products that we can't live without. There's things in the salon that we can't live without. Like, I couldn't live without my card machine. You know, like, it sounds so silly, but
I couldn't live without the kettle.
Yeah. and Yorkshire tea bags, Amanda. Yeah.
No, yeah, if we're talking about this, if you have a salon and you do serve drinks, obviously not during pandemic, but if you are going to serve drinks, you need to go buy yourself a velvetizer from Hotel Chocolat, and you need to serve hot chocolates.
Yeah.
Oh. stop doing this to me. I'm asking the questions, but I'm not wanting the answers because I know I will go get one. And it's like, I've no money, stop.
Nikki, have you ever had a pink hot chocolate when you've come to the salon?
No, but not, but obviously I need one now, don't I?
Yeah, you do. Once all this like lockdown and, you know, everything's over and done with and we're back serving drinks, I will make you a pink hot chocolate.
Oh, can't wait, Shelby. Can't wait.
It's about 2,000 calories.
I'm not drinking them in my own home, Amanda, so they don't count, obviously.
Oh, really? Is that how it works?
Yeah, obviously, yeah.
Can't live without solar oil. Can't live without C&D's cuticle eraser, you know, to retail to clients as well.
Yeah.
They're amazing. There's just the new Evo bases, can't live without.
Yeah, yeah.
There's just so much.
Yeah, I just feel like our business is in for a change when we go back. Clients will be like, have I come to the right place? You know, hopefully it'll all be finished, the salon, the bits.
I mean, this is the good thing that I've got from lockdown is I've had people message me to say, gosh, you're very quiet. Is everything all right? In particular because...
Well, I was actually thinking this the other week.
Yeah, but it's good sometimes.
Because obviously we've got friends in it, and this is the thing I just can't get over say enough. I've got friends in the nail industry via social media, particularly Instagram. People I've never actually physically met, but I do consider them as really good friends, really caring, really supportive. You know, you guys completely included. Obviously, I do know you, you know, but these are the people. And it's just so precious in this time to have that network of people. Obviously, people have been in touch and saying, God, you're really quiet at the moment. And that's really been nice because obviously my husband were really ill last year with cancer. And I think they've been thinking, oh, my God, you know. And they're like, oh, no. Honestly, we're absolutely fine. You know, yeah. Don't worry.
Please
don't worry.
It's just upside down.
It's just that I'm living in a building site, hence. And I've got, and I mean, the other week you made me laugh because I listened to a podcast with Sophie, Nancy Loves Nails, and she ran about me being glamorous. And I thought, oh, my God. Oh my God, there's no way I can pop up on Instagram anywhere when I'm rocking Ken Dodd. You know, it's just... So I was sad that we couldn't open and that hairdressers could initially, but then I started to think about things and thought, actually, I can have my hair done before I do see my clients, which is a godsend. And I didn't just never been ready. My salon is going, and just what you're saying, the training that I've been doing, and it's just like that catalyst process at the moment, and hopefully I'm going to have my butterfly moment like you're saying. Well, I hope so. My gosh, because it has been a long time that I've been in hibernation, so but I'm ready.
You will.
Well, ladies, I cannot thank you enough, and I know you know, obviously I'm not just speaking myself, it's just so lovely to find out about you, and thank you so much for the podcast that you've done, because there really came a time when we truly needed them. It really gave us that time to, you know, it's quite spiritual, really, find out about other people, assess ourselves. We've had some fantastic advice over the last few weeks. I just sincerely hope that you manage to be able to carry on with the podcast, because I have just enjoyed them so much. Thank you.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode. If you've enjoyed our podcast, please leave us a review and subscribe.
We would love to connect with you on social media. You can follow us on Instagram at The Beauty Edit Podcast, or join our Facebook group, The Beauty Edit Podcast Society.
Thank you so much again, and please do look out for another episode of The Beauty Edit Podcast.